With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, Illinois State Board of Elections says voters should be confident in the system despite 2 years ago a hacking that it believes was done by Russians. Friday, U.S. Department of Justice Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein announced an indictment of Russian hackers for hacking servers of political organizations and politicians, among other hacks,
including state boards of election, secretaries of state, and companies that supply software used to administer elections.
Illinois State Board of Elections Public Information Officer Matt Dietrich's confident Rosenstein is talking about Illinois' Board of Elections, but he said the hack in 2016 was not connected to the 108 independent local-level election jurisdictions in Illinois, and no votes were changed. He urged for confidence in the system.
There is no certainty, but we think that the Cyber Navigator program is an important step toward bringing all of those jurisdictions under one umbrella of cybersecurity.
Illinois is getting $13 million from the feds for election security issues. Illinois' Attorney General is asking the courts to rule that a controversial Illinois law about immigration policies complies with federal law. Attorney General Lisa Madigan filed a lawsuit last week against U.S. Deputy, the Department of Justice. She said the DOJ is improperly withholding $6.5 million in law enforcement grants from Illinois, saying Illinois' Trust Act encourages local and state law enforcement to cooperate with immigration officials. She wants a U.S. District Court to rule the state policies in bounds. Republican State Representative Alan Skillicorn said the Trust Act, passed mainly by Democrats and enacted by Governor Bruce Rauner last year, is not in bounds.
Effectively, this is something that tries to stand in between the process of actually, deporting people and law enforcement. I see it as a direct contradiction.
While Madigan says the grants not being available makes Illinois less safe, Skillicorn says prohibiting law enforcement from working to address illegal immigration is what makes Illinois less safe. Murder charges have been filed after a Springfield man died from injuries he sustained in a fight last month. State Journal Register reports the 58-year-old Stephen Goines was injured in a fight June 23rd with another homeless man, 42-year-old Jeffrey Miller. Goines died nearly 2 weeks after that fight, and Miller is now charged with murder. He's being held on a $500,000 bond. And after months of work and millions of dollars in expense, the Illinois Governor's Mansion is now officially reopened to the public. Hundreds of people took the opportunity to see the refurbished home over the weekend, the first public tours since the privately funded $15 million project was completed. Governor Bruce Rauner says not only is the mansion now livable, it's become another way to celebrate Illinois' history and heritage.
It's so exciting. You know, this house belongs to all the people of Illinois. We're honored and humbled to be able to live here for a few years, serving the people of Illinois as volunteers. To have the people come in and be able to come in 7 days a week and learn about our history and our culture, our art, all the creations and heritage of our state, it's a wonderful thing.
Former Governor George Ryan was among those on hand for the tours on Saturday. The mansion is now open to the public 7 days a week from 1 to 4 p.m. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Okay, hey, let's start. President Trump and
Russian President Vladimir Putin.
They're right now, they're holding a press conference.
Yeah, they're meeting. Historic summit begins.
We'll be talking a little bit about China. Our mutual friend, President Xi.
And this is like a pre-summit media event. They are going to have an actual news conference a little bit later on this morning, local time.
We have great opportunities together as two countries that, frankly, we have not been getting along very well for the last number of years. I've been here not too long, but it's getting close to 2 years. But I think we will end up having an extraordinary
relationship. We haven't gotten along for
like ever. I've been saying, and I'm sure you've heard over the years, and as I campaign, that getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing.
So translators are going back and forth, and questions being offered up. We've only heard the president speak. We haven't heard Putin speak yet.
Well, Putin's posturing. I mean, look at him. He looks all...
I think the world wants to see us get along. We are the two great nuclear powers. We have 90% of the nuclear, and that's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. And I think we hopefully can do something about that, because it's not a positive force. It's a negative force. So we'll be talking about that, among other things.
I think one of the big questions is going to have to be broached during their summit is the alleged election interference. The indictment on Friday handed down of Russian intelligence officers hacking into a variety of different systems, including a suspected system here in Illinois that exposed the voter information of 76,000 voters.
The world awaits, and I look forward to our personal discussion, which I think begins now, and then we're going to meet our whole team. You have quite a few representatives on that, too, and we all have a lot of questions, and hopefully we'll come up with answers, most importantly. It's great to be with you.
Again,
so Putin hasn't said anything.
Only President Trump is speaking. Yeah, Putin hasn't said much. They
President
shook
Trump
hands now.
President Putin.
Look at that smug. I don't like.
And here's ABC News.
In chairs next to one another at the start of their summit in Helsinki,
Thank you very
Finland.
Much. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That's how we're going to start this morning. A little brief.
Nostrafa del fruto de ba, whatever that language. I don't understand that language.
And the press is being ushered out. So, good morning. Good Monday morning.
Good morning. How are you? How are you?
That's how it's done, I guess.
Yeah. Well.
So we'll hear more. Of course, this seems to have been a pre-summit availability, two meeting, a few questions only to the presidents, that at least from what I heard. And then they'll hold another press conference, a joint press conference, a little bit later on this morning. It looks like it'll be about 8:50 our time.
Hmm. Well, there you go. I mean, a lot of people are caught up in this whole Trump-Putin meeting. I don't know what they can accomplish. A whole lot of nothing, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know. People are very concerned about it. We will pass along what we get. But that was the first thing. Putin said nothing.
Yeah,
he just sat there with that smug look on his face.
Very little. And he may have been speaking early on. We came into it kind of at the tail end there. But again, both will be addressed by media a little bit later on this morning.
All right. Well, let's get started.
And what a lovely morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright.
Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
So good morning. Good morning. Sunbeams will still smile through. Good morning. Good morning to you
and you and you and you. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Do we all have a good weekend?
Busy weekend. Yeah. Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, I had a bunch of stuff to do Saturday. I knocked out yesterday when we moved into this new place. I lost my office. Oh, boy. You know, I don't have a room for my office anymore. So I had to put my studio up in a different... that's a big thing. And when I put it up, my wife did not like how I set things up. So she wanted me to switch out this table for this. It's a big thing. Needless to say, we decided, all right, let's try to get that done now. And my wife says, oh, okay, well, I got like 10 minutes on my hands. Yeah, 10 minutes? Let's talk like 4 hours. So we took 4 hours switching out a table for a shelf, and it was a whole thing. So it ended up spending my whole day. My whole day was, you ever done that? Like you're going to do something, just a little thing, and it ends up just taking hours
all,
hours.
All the time.
Oh,
all the time. Yeah, it's It's what projects end up around my house. We look at something, we're like, it's going to take a little bit of time, and then all of a sudden it takes our whole day.
And here's the thing with me. I had it set up. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Aesthetically, it wasn't pleasing to one person in the house. But I agreed, okay, I'll do it. To make you happy, and it took hours. And because we're basically doing the thing we've done before, that whole redundancy thing.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, it makes me crazy. It just, you know what I mean? It just drives me. Because in my mind, it's like, okay, this is unneeded. We're doing things over and over and over again, and we could be focusing on new things, on new tasks that we haven't done. So you know what I'm talking about. It drives me crazy. It makes me crazy. But that's how I spent my Sunday. And then we got done. I'm like, okay, thank God, finally. Because I got everything working. Because the whole thing is there's so many wires and so many servers and all these things that I have to plug in, right?
Right.
And I had them plugged in and then she wanted it moved, so we had to unplug everything, move a bunch of stuff out, move this new shelf in, and then put everything on the new shelf and blah, blah, blah. And then we had to reconnect everything, and then you had to fix the cords, you know what I mean, and hide this and hide that. And I'm like, all right, finally I could get some work done now, like real work, instead of just doing the thing that I've done before. Because this is, Greg, what I did. Remember when they were in Texas and I moved stuff over? That's what I took hours connecting then. Now I had to take hours disconnecting, reconnecting. And I go, all right, good. Well, what time is it? Oh, it's 7:40. I'm like, 7:40? I'm up maybe another half an hour. So it wasted my whole, my whole day was wasted. However, it looks good now. So my wife is happy because it looks good.
That's always good.
And I lost.
What is that saying? A happy wife, happy life?
Well, yeah. Unhappy husband, who cares? That's saying.
Yeah, that's the follow-up
saying.
That's
the saying. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Happy wife, happy life. Unhappy husband, no one gives a damn.
Yeah, no one gives a rat's. You're right. Unhappy husband, no one cares. Unhappy husband, because I literally just did this. I did this, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. No one cares. So my whole day was. I put myself back several hours. So now I got to catch up all week. So usually on Monday, Monday is usually like, if it's a busy weekend, it's like a catch up day where I could take a nap and do. No time to do that today. I got to jump right in and do the things that I should have done yesterday. Oh, well, good news is, I went outside. My car was not broken into last night.
That is good.
Yeah.
It's always a nice thing. Springfield Police reminding people to lock your car doors and roll your windows up.
Yeah. Well, who isn't rolling the windows up?
It's hot out. People leave their windows cracked a little bit, maybe a little bit too much. And then all of a sudden somebody can reach their skinny hands in and unlock a door. And
I was out, Saturday night. Was it Saturday night? Were you out Saturday night, or were you doing?
We were at the governor's mansion. Saturday night, what did we do Saturday night?
All right, it was literally during the day Saturday. It was a heat index, like 100 and some odd degrees.
It was warm.
Okay. Then that big rain came.
Right.
In the afternoon. This is what I'm talking about. Right after the rain, okay, I had to go somewhere right after the rain, and I put the window down. And I'm telling you, it was the most pleasant and fine temperature right after that rain on Saturday. And I don't know what it was. It felt like it was like 60-something. It was beautiful out.
Yeah.
There was a little breeze right when it was getting dark. If anybody was out in it, you know what I'm talking about. How pleasant. It was the nicest weather, and that was Saturday after the rain. So I didn't know if you were out in it or not, but man, it was beautiful. Right after the rain, then it started getting hot again. But it was, and I don't even know how it gets so steamy at night, but it does get steamy at night. But right after that rain, it was so cool. Or it was, I wouldn't say cool, but it was just comfortable, which is nice.
Well, I know what we did Saturday night. What? We were out of power for like 5 hours.
You didn't have power?
We didn't have power. I cooked a steak on my gas stove in the dark because we didn't have power. Yeah, no, that's I was sitting there like drawing a blank.
So
what
you had no
Saturday?
You had no power.
We had no power.
And you said, hey, what I'm going to do,
yeah.
We don't have any air conditioner because no power. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on the oven.
Yeah, the stove.
The stove.
The gas stove, yeah.
I'm going to turn on the stove and heat up everything around it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was already because
so power, that was your answer.
Yeah, power went out at like 5:30, and we looked at Ameren's website, and they're like, okay, it'll be on by 8:30. We're like, oh, that's quite a long time. So we just kind of hung out, read some books, lounged around outside, enjoyed what you were talking about, just the beautiful crispness that was starting to come through because of the weather. But then Ameren kept saying, you know, it was going to be 10 o'clock by the time the power was on.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, 8:30 rolls around. I'm like, okay, it's starting to get dark out there. We're already got, we got candles all over the house right now. I'm hungry. What are we haven't had dinner yet.
You got to leave.
We didn't leave. We decided to cook a steak at home in the dark on the stove.
So you guys, what time did the power get back on?
Power came back on. Dude, seriously. Literally right as I was sitting down for a delicious steak dinner at candlelight. Right, we had candles on the dinner table.
Your poor wife.
We're sitting down. We're getting ready to enjoy this delicious poor candlelight wife. Dinner, and then all of a sudden, the flipping power gets turned back on. You know, the one time I didn't mind if the power was delayed by about 30 minutes, just to have a nice, relaxing, romantic candlelight dinner, and that was ruined because the power got.
That's when the power was
and
turned on.
That's seriously right when the power got turned on. Ridiculous.
I'll tell you what. At my house, if the power goes out, we're gone.
You guys are out.
Oh,
we
yeah.
thought about it. We're like, can we go see a movie?
That's there you go. That's top of our list. Yeah. We have a list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a list of things to do when the power goes out.
Yeah.
Right at the top, we should do a question of the 629-7970. When the power goes out, the first thing we look at the list is go to the movies.
Right.
All right.
That was the top of mind.
The movies. Always have the air conditioning on. You know what I mean?
I wasn't thinking about the air conditioning.
They've always got food.
Need something to take my attention away from it being dark.
Yeah. They've always got food. They've always got entertainment.
It's true.
And there's a lot of stuff you could do to waste your time at the movies. It's number top of the list.
New comfortable seating. You can get some alcohol.
Yeah. Go to the one on the east side off of Dirksen. You can take a nap. They got those recliners.
Nice.
And then number two, we got different people whose houses we can visit that live in places, you know, not by us, where it'd be different, I guess, a grid or whatever you call it. You know what I mean? For when the power goes out. 629-797. I'd love to know what you got. What is your plan for when the power goes out? You guys just stayed at home.
Yep, just stayed at home.
My wife could not handle that.
It was different. You know, typically when the power's out, if we're home, it's only out for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but this was, I don't know, they never gave a reason other than just the weather. But it was out for 5 hours.
It's amazing in 2018 that power goes out.
Well, and it's funny because we kind of put things into perspective a bit. Saturday, we went to the governor's mansion, got tickets early, and then went to go get breakfast, and then went back to the opening ceremony, took the tour, and the wife and I were like, you know what? We're downtown. Both of us haven't been to the Lincoln home since we were, you know, in grade school.
Right.
So let's go check out the Lincoln home. So we went to the Lincoln home, took a tour, and, you know, they're talking about how they didn't have electricity and all of the amenities that we take it. For granted today, they didn't have back then. And on the way home, I'm like, can you imagine being Lincoln and Mary Todd with the kids
and not having electricity
and not having air conditioning on a day like today?
I grew up without air conditioning. I know how tough it is.
It's crazy. I mean, I couldn't imagine that. And then what happens when we get home? The power goes out.
Yeah, electricity goes out.
We have to cook in the dark on a gas stove and sit around in the dark with candles trying to, you know, I asked Megan if there were any board games, for crying out loud. That's how That's how bored we were getting just sitting there in the dark.
Yeah, you got to have, there's got to be a list of things to do when the power goes out. Yeah. Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show. What do you do when the power goes out?
Well, let me replace that with a real quick story about when the power went out yesterday, because I think probably more entertaining than my answer. My sister had her first child. So this was her third day in the hospital. She had a C-section, so, you know, you got to stay in there longer.
Sure.
I show up with my girlfriend about 2:30, and the power had just went out.
This is Saturday,
on that side,
right?
Of town. Yes, Saturday.
Yeah, because Saturday downtown, yesterday. There were two massive explosions at a a transformer, and that knocked out power to like 2,600 people, including the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know about Memorial, but St. John's had their power out. So
that's wild.
It was.
You went to visit your sister in the hospital and the power was out?
Yes. In fact, my dad got there before me, and he said he saw people being rescued from the elevator. Like the elevator was open, and they had a security guard with a rope, which is one of my nightmares.
Oh, that is my nightmare. Absolutely. Yeah.
Can you imagine getting stuck in an elevator and the air conditioner being out?
Oh, my God.
But anyways, we were in there for an hour and a half, and, you know, she had been there all day in the previous 2 days with the baby, and she was sweating, and everyone else was sweating. And the nurse came in and told us what was going on, and I said, you know, you ought to tell the patients that we're providing us a free sauna today. Hot as it was in there, so...
Did you get out of there? I would leave as quick as possible. I'd be like, all right, good to see you. I cannot handle this.
Yeah, I was there for about an hour and a half to, you know, my niece, and then, you know, just visit, and then we were out of there. So, man, I felt sorry for anyone in the hospital that day.
Wow.
Because it was hot, and, you know, the poor people in the
elevator. It takes a lot for the hospital to lose power.
It really does.
Yeah. They have backup generators, but I mean that
doesn't the backup generator run the elevator? You think that would be the first thing it would run?
I would have thought so too, but no, we had to take the stairs and
I'm just saying you could take the stairs, but I'm saying if you're trapped in the elevator, you'd at least want that elevator to run to the next floor or something to let you off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you would have thought, but nope.
Oh my God.
Poor soul got stuck in there and they had to get out the hard way.
So. Oh, the fire department got him out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, buddy. I always wonder about that. Like, how would they get me out of an elevator? Good Lord. Oh, they'd let me die. They would let me die in the elevator. That's what would happen. They would be like, no, the fat one, he stays. We can't lift him out. Just leave him down. Just throw him down some candy bars and some water. And a bucket. I won't say what the bucket's for. And we'll get him, like, next week. That's what I think would happen. Oh, well.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, the Trump-Putin summit in Helsinki, Finland, underway. The two leaders speaking briefly before starting their one-on-one meeting. Here's President Donald Trump.
We have a lot of good things to talk about and things to talk about. We have discussions on everything from trade to military to missiles to nuclear to China. We'll be talking a little bit about China.
Meanwhile, Finland's biggest newspaper has a message for President Trump and Vladimir Putin. Respect a free press. The paper has placed advertisements around Helsinki, alluding to Nordic nations' reputation as a hub for free press. Both leaders have shown hostility to journalists who cover them. A little bit closer to home, now that Illinois voter data was targeted by Russians from an indictment handed down by the feds on Friday, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says it's far from clear that it can't or won't happen again. State election officials confirmed last week that they believe Illinois was the unnamed state referenced in a new round of indictments against Russian intelligence agents claiming to have access to voter records. Talking to reporters in Springfield Sunday, Durbin said the state believes that it was tightening down on its vulnerabilities in the system, but he notes they also thought about that 2 years ago.
I can't say with any confidence that our election process is going to be intact. and secure. And I don't believe we put enough resources as a nation into investigating what happened 2 years ago and making certain it never happens again.
Durbin notes that while the intelligence community has stated its belief that Russia is intent on continuing to interfere with U.S. elections, President Trump and Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen have downplayed the concerns, a view that Durbin calls naive. Of the 46 states whose budgets started this month, Illinois and four others are on a credit agency's watch list due to potential instability. Uniquely, Illinois' instability is largely due to its politicians. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
Credit agency Fitch's annual budget update lists Illinois as a, quote, state to watch, as a signal to potential bond buyers that its ability to pay off debt could change in the next 12 months. Fitch analyst Eric Kim says Illinois is in a rare situation where potential fiscal instability stems from its politicians fighting amongst themselves.
It's fairly uncommon to have political disputes become so entrenched and deep that they would have an effect on credit quality.
In addition to the political bickering, Kim says Illinois' economy has not improved at the same rate as other states and the nation as a whole. This could lead to shortfalls.
The growth has not been on par with the rest of the nation. It's certainly something we've noted and have been following pretty closely.
Fitch joins other agencies in giving Illinois a lower rating than any other state. I'm Cole Lauterbach.
Southern Illinois University Board is expected to vote today to replace outgoing President Randy Dunn with School of Medicine Dean Kevin Dorsey for a salary of $430,000. Chicago Tribune reported Dunn is on his way out and is walking away with a $215,000 severance after being criticized for wanting to shift millions from the school's Carbondale campus to its Edwardsville one. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Hey, I drove into work today with my windows down. I enjoyed this. It's 73 now. High's only 87. I know you're going, only 87? Oh, my God, that sounds horrific. Yeah, but it's cool for what we've had this year. 87's not so bad. I don't know if you heard it. Greg mentioned 82 on Thursday. That's our high. Every day we're in the upper 90s. I'm fine with 87. It's like a cool front. 643 is the time. 629-7970, the phone number. That's 629-7970. That's a CT Adams Pest Control listener contact line. You could also text us. Our morning show message mafia text line is up and working. Text LYTLE, L-Y-T-L-E, space, and your message. Send that over to number 68255. All right, let's start taking calls. I'm sure this will be a call that everybody will agree with. Nothing controversial. Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Come in, Ray.
Yes, hello.
Hey, I saw Greg at the mansion. It was great, wasn't it, Greg?
Holy cow, Ray. You've got to see it. It's
Did you ask Rauner? Did you run it around her at all?
I ran into George Ryan right after I saw Greg.
I was asking Greg. I don't want to know what criminals you ran into, Tom.
Into a felon after I saw Greg.
I'm talking to Greg.
The very next person I run into is a felon, George Ryan. I says, he's not touring with our group. I had my wallet in the car, so I was okay.
No.
But he tried to sell me his ticket.
Tickets were free.
I don't consort with felons.
I don't want to know what criminals you were.
Move along, buddy.
He looked old.
He looked pretty old, GB.
Yeah, I think prison definitely took a toll on George Ryan. It was interesting to see him there.
He's not a young guy.
He's, right?
What is mad.
70s?
He never answered none of the letters I wrote him while he was in the slammer.
Ah, did you ask him about that?
I didn't get a chance to. That somebody was moving him along. I think they was trying to get rid of him. But the mansion looked good.
Holy cow. I'm impressed by the grounds.
Greg Bishop, Tom Schaefer, and George Ryan. What a bunch of ne'er-do-wells hanging out there. I'm not sure I want to go.
You know, just a couple of social gadflies, Ray. We get around.
It's quite the scene. I mean, the grounds itself is just incredible.
Garden. They moved the rose garden, and the fountain was gorgeous outside. Yeah. That guy that carved all that furniture, can you imagine the intricacy of that type of work?
Back in, 1830s or something?
Greg, did you run into the governor at all?
Yeah, he was there.
Did you ask him,
shaking hands? And
this is a good question. I want someone to ask this of the governor. He gave all that money.
Yeah, $1 million. Okay. He and his wife.
He and his wife gave $1 million to refurbish this thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Pritzkers are living in it after the election? Would that make them? I mean, That would make me angry.
That bad picture, right? That's a bad picture.
No, the Pritzkers, the Pritzkers gave like $500,000.
I know, exactly. And if I was the Pritzkers and I give money and the Routers are living it, I'm not happy. You know what I mean? It's like,
no, it was funny.
Somebody's going to be unhappy after the, you know.
The wife and I went there to enjoy the mansion, to, you know, see it as kind of a touristy type thing. And we were part of the second tour. Tom, I think you guys were part of the third tour.
My ticket was $1,220.
Okay, so yeah, I think you were part of either the third or fourth tour.
We had Justin Blandford as our tour guide.
Oh,
and his mom and dad were in our tour group. He's actually from Waterloo, Illinois.
Wow.
Genuinely nice bunch. I'll tell you, they picked the right guy for running that deal.
Blandford, Justin's
he's a wonderful
incredible
tour guide, a wonderful guy.
Who is
wonderful
Justin Blandford?
He is the curator there at the Governor's Mansion now.
He's like the historian, the curator, and I'll tell you what, they couldn't have picked a better guy.
Yeah, he's been around the local historical sites beat for years.
He led our tour guide group, and I'll tell you what, it made it even better.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, it was overwhelming. You have to go at least a couple
of weeks. Who hosted your tour? The gardener? I mean, what was going on with you?
We did talk to the gardener afterwards because the grounds were open, but we had somebody from DNR that was there.
Oh.
I will say, just a little bit of a critique, you got to be louder. You've got to project. You got to speak up and talk loudly.
Poor Greg. Greg got stuck with a DNR employee.
Oh, it was all right.
When they're given that type of funding, they sure do some spectacular work in Illinois, and I'm proud of them. It's that and the Y block in Jackson Street never looked better with that Y building gone. That was a scary street when that Y building was there. That looked gorgeous. I think Springfield has turned a page with this whole deal.
And it really makes what goes on the Y block that much more important.
It's clearly it does. It's even more important. I don't know what the future will be for, but having that building gone is a huge plus.
You walk out of the front door of the Governor's Mansion of the People's House, and you will see, boom, that Y block. Vacant as it is, and then you realize, holy crap, whatever they put there, it better be good.
It's going to be a showplace, that's for sure, because the mansion behind it is sure one right now. They could tour that.
I like the one guy called into the White Castle. Let's put a White Castle.
Tours 1 to 4 every day. Free tours 1 to 4 every day.
That seems like a lot.
No, I think it's an incredible addition to all of these.
Maybe for the first several months.
This is two blocks from the Lincoln home.
Yep, it's an addition to uptown that can't be understated.
This is four blocks from the Dana Thomas house.
Old and new capital, and now the mansion. It's a huge addition. It's a huge, and it's free, of course.
Yeah.
It's a huge, I might go back.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going back because there's a lot of artifacts that I could have spent hours just looking at. There's
absolutely
one. There was a whiskey bottle that was up there, like an old whiskey bottle made in Illinois that had like snakes all over it. I was just staring at it like, holy cow.
They'll have the sleaze trail from George Ryan all cleaned up by the time I go back, so that'll be a plus.
Do they have the pictures of all the governors in their in their orange jumpsuits?
What's very cool is
they have the mug shots of all the former governors.
There is a book that shows all of the governors up to present time, and I was flipping through it, and I looked at Megan, and I go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all prison.
Yeah.
It's like the last page and a half is
Flagel lived there, Ryan lived there. I mean, it's quite a picture. It's quite a historic deal, the good and the bad and the ugly.
Uh-huh. And the gorgeous.
I still got a picture
of
you dying in that elevator,
gorgeous.
Ray. I'm going to go to sleep tonight on that.
So the thank you, Tom.
It's always a pleasure.
Are the Rounders living in the I don't even know, what wing do they live in?
That's a good question. I want to say it's probably like the southern wing.
So is that where they live?
And yeah, there's living
no
quarters.
There's no tours of that, right?
No, that was not part of the tour. The main part of the tour is, I mean, it's three floors. It's the bottom floor with some artifacts and a kind of interactive exhibits. And then the second floor, it's all artwork from Illinois artists. Some of the most incredible artwork you've seen, some musical instruments, some old, like an old time radio that was made in Illinois. And then the third floor is even more historical artifacts and two bedroom suites that have been refurbished to resemble Civil War era, and then another one to resemble the Columbian Exposition era. And it's gorgeous. And the fact that it's going to be free and open from 1 to 4, 7 days a week.
Is there an elevator, or how do you get around?
There is an elevator, and by the way, it's completely ADA accessible now, which hasn't been before.
Right.
And I've heard stories from more than a fair share of people. There's a state senator who's in a wheelchair, Dan McConkie. And when he would be invited to the governor's mansion, it would be like, we just can't really accommodate you.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's like, oh, crap. Well, now it's completely accessible
to
anybody. So I would encourage people to get out there, free tours. There's plenty of opportunity for Springfield residents. But again, it's going to be a major addition to all of Illinois, Springfield's major historical offerings. The Lincoln Home, Dana Thomas House, the old state capitol, now the governor's mansion. People can go to the new capitol and tour that. And all of this is going to be within, you know, 10 blocks of the downtown area. So it's a major addition.
Well, good. Sounds awesome.
By the way, we did, you know, the wife and I, we went, and right as we're finishing up our tour, the governor walks out, and he's like, hey, GB. So we got to meet him for a moment and got a picture. I introduced him to Megan, and he goes, you know, I've got sainthood ability. I can saint you for having to live with this guy.
Well, see, that's nice. So you did run into the...
Yeah, he was out there, you know, meeting and greeting people.
I'll be there. Was he on his Harley?
No, but
bring the Harley into the residence.
He changed shirts because for the ceremony he was wearing a suit and tie, right? And
then wait a minute! I was just text a picture. I was just sent a picture of you, Megan, and the governor. What is that shirt he's wearing?
It's like a Route 66 shirt, dude.
Oh,
listen to this.
God.
I sent my brother and my dad a picture, and he goes, "I said we toured the governor's mansion today." this is hilarious. My brother goes, who's the drunk guy that's standing next
to me? Dude, it looks like you.
He's probably saying, hey, I met that.
The guy living under the stairs came out and took a picture with Greg and his wife.
Yeah, he says.
Oh, that's funny.
Where's it at here?
There's a picture of Greg, his wife, and the governor, and that is hysterical.
And my brother says, wow, that old dude in the pic shared the same pic with his family and said, that's Bishop from the radio. My dad's like, who's the tall guy? An old man, one beer away from a bed? I said, no, that's the governor. And they're like, no way.
So he was just hanging out in the residence? He came out and took a picture with you?
Yeah, and he, you know, meeting everybody that that came through on Saturday.
There you go. The governor's mansion is now open. You can tour it whenever you like. And that's daily, they do tours, right?
Daily. 7 days a week.
Well, even on Sundays.
One to four.
All right.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, after indicting 12 Russians, Illinois officials are confident hacked a state voter database. The feds say they continue to work with state elections officials on securing elections from hackers. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein Friday said federal agencies are working with elections boards throughout the country.
And those efforts preceded this indictment, and they're going to post-date this indictment. So we have continued to share any relevant intelligence with all of our partners.
Those efforts include more federal funding for election security. Illinois got $13 million. That'll bring about what Illinois State Board of Elections spokesman Matt Dietrich said is an important cybersecurity staff member.
And knows our system specifically and how we deal with our local election authorities. That is a major a very important thing for us.
Illinois elections officials are also setting up a cyber navigator system for all election districts. A hack in 2016 exposed information of 76,000 Illinois voters. A state representative says the Illinois Attorney General's playing politics by suing the Trump administration over stalled law enforcement grants. Attorney General Lisa Madigan last week sued the Trump administration, saying the federal government's improperly withholding $6.5 million in grants as punishment over the Illinois Trust Act. The measure, passed mainly by Democrats and enacted by Governor Bruce Rauner last year, requires a criminal warning and a warrant to be issued for local and state law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration officials. While Madigan says the Bureau of Justice grants is needed because it helps make Illinois safe, Republican State Representative Alan Skillicorn said the Trust Act doesn't make Illinois safe.
No, it's not good for Illinois safety. And there's already been examples where Illinois citizens have been hurt by people that are willfully breaking the law. And there is no recourse now. We cannot enforce the law and justice is not served.
Madigan is asking a federal court to declare the Trust Act complies with federal law. A McLean County woman claims that a positive reading on an alcohol consumption monitor was because she was putting rubbing alcohol on her leg, not because she was drinking. Juanita Webster is prohibited from consuming alcohol while she awaits trial in an alleged DUI crash that killed her husband. The judge in the case rejected a request to revoke her bail, but will let prosecutors file additional information. And long considered a shining centerpiece in downtown Springfield, the governor's mansion has been restored to more of its original look and beauty. The $15 million privately funded renovation was needed to correct years of deterioration inside the building, like a leaky roof and drafty windows. But the project also sought to restore some of the grandeur of the exterior and improve the visibility of the mansion. Governor Bruce Rauner hopes that it will once again become a showcase in the hearts of the capital city.
It is now a shining jewel on the hill. It's a beacon for democracy in the state of Illinois. And now it's opened up and fully restored. Now folks can come celebrate and look at it and enjoy its beauty from all angles, both on the grounds and from out in the street.
Springfield Mayor Jim Langfelder calls the renovation a gift to the city and hopes that it'll eventually become part of a path that leads from Lincoln's home to the forthcoming Bicentennial Plaza between 5th and 6th Streets, onto the mansion, and then perhaps to a planned park on the adjacent block to the north. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
That's 629-7970. Or you can text Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space, and your message. Send it over to number 68255. That's how I want you to text us. All right, 99% of women. 99. I thought it'd be a little higher. 99% of women agree no to this is a big no.
While on vacation. A big fat no.
No. A no.
Man, I have no idea.
They say this is no.
Coitus on the beach?
No, not that. No, I mean, it has nothing to do with coitus.
Okay.
Let me, no type of coitus.
No coitus involved.
No coitus at all. All right, before anybody even guesses.
Okay.
Let me cut that off. It has nothing to do with sex.
Nothing to do with sex.
Whatsoever. All right, good morning. You are on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Good morning, Ray. Are you still looking for the answer? For
yes, would you like to give us the answer?
Yeah. They don't want Aunt Flo to go with them.
No. Nope. Nothing to do with the...
Menstrual cycles?
Nothing to do with menstrual cycles.
Nothing to do with menstrual cycles.
Nothing to do with menstrual cycles or any type of sex.
Okay.
Including, you know, the average guy. I don't know. 629-7970. This is a big no. 99%. By the way, Nikki, you remember Nikki?
Yeah.
She got it. She literally sent me a...
She's a woman.
She sent me a thing. She goes, hey, here's the guess. Blank. And I'm like, oh my God, she got it correct. It was like that. First Facebook text, she got it.
So...
Everybody else, by the way, no, you're all wrong.
And this deals specifically with a spouse or a significant other?
It deals
other.
With a spouse. Yeah. Well, or a significant other. Yeah.
Like a partner of some
yes,
kind?
Yes, it has to do with the men in their lives.
Hmm.
And the women say no. 99% of women say no.
It has nothing to do with sex.
Nothing at all. Good morning. You are on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
They don't want to cook.
No, I think there are women that women and men who don't mind cooking on vacation. Like,
it depends on where you. If you get like a,
if you ever get like a timeshare or a condo or something, yeah. My wife would rather cook than
when we're on vacation.
Order
we'd
food
rather
out.
Cook.
Yeah,
it's too expensive to eat.
Greg and his wife, they'd bake beans on their vacations.
No, we're gonna be eating like canned tuna in Iceland. Gonna be great.
Well, they live in a truck like animals. Good morning. You are on the Real Idle Morning Show.
They don't want their spouse or significant other wearing like a Speedo.
Really?
Absolutely what? Correct. Yes.
What?
Women agree they don't want their husband or significant other to wear a Speedo while on vacation. That is 100% right.
All right, this is obviously regional specific because
if you're American going to Europe, you don't want your husband wearing a Speedo.
Well, no, but I'm saying if you're European, that's what you wear is Speedos.
I'm saying the wives don't like it.
Wow. That's pretty.
Why a wife would even let her husband have that?
Yeah,
you know, that would fall on her. I pack whenever we go on vacation. I know what my husband has.
Yeah.
I'm the one putting it in the suitcase. So,
and if he puts a Speedo in there, you're throwing it in the garbage. And not allowed to wear it.
He would never have one ready to begin with.
Yeah.
The late, great Jim the photographer, my best friend, he worked with me for many years. He looked ridiculous. He'd wear that Speedo all the time. He looked ridiculous. And he never had a wife to tell him.
This is so specific.
It's very specific. Look how easy. When you thought about it, I bet you got it like that.
Oh, as soon as you said it, I would have called in earlier.
That's hilarious. Exactly. Yeah. They don't want their husbands to wear a Speedo.
When they go on vacation, guys try to do things like they try to do something they've never done before. They go, "Oh, I think I'll wear a Speedo," and the guy thinks it's a good idea.
I don't know any guy who thinks it's a good idea. By the way,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can find 99% of people out there, men, who would say they're never going to wear.
Well,
a Speedo.
Well, yeah, it's just that it's that 1%
that all wives, nope. Practically all
what
is, wives.
What
are
is your first
out.
Name, dear?
This is Karen.
Karen, congratulations! You got it. Yes,
nailed it.
Never. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you, dear. Never. They will not let their husband wear a Speedo. And they're absolutely correct.
Wow.
Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Good morning, Ray. It's Rob. How are you?
Hey, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Work. It is what it is. I don't know why anybody would have a Speedo. That's gross, actually. But back to Jim the photographer, I saw him in that at one of the old QLV events.
Yes.
And it looked like Bart the Bear wearing a rubber band.
Yeah, he would wear...
It was hideous. It was terrible.
He would wear that Speedo all the time. He looked ridiculous.
Oh, it was bad.
No matter how many times... Rob, Greg, I'm telling you, I would say, dude, put on regular shorts. Oh, no, I look fine. I'm like, Jim...
I look great.
I'd tell him, yeah. I'd say, you'd look ridiculous. He'd go, I'm wearing it for the ladies. And I go,
yeah,
no,
they,
you look
yeah,
ridiculous. He goes, he'd say...
It was a winner.
You're not a lady, so you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it was bad, and he'd always just walk over to you with a drink and just act like he was.
Yeah.
You know, he was dressed in casual attire.
Yes.
Like, so you know, you're basically wearing, you know, like
he had no concept that other people were uncomfortable, and that's the disturbing thing. So, Greg, when you say that, which guys do it? There are people out there that have no concept of shame. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And in their mind, everyone's looking at them like, oh, they think I'm sexy. Yeah. I'm really pulling the. Let me tell you something. Unless you're Michael Phelps,
yeah,
or a member of the United States men's swim team.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
You don't look good in a Speedo.
You have to shave.
There's
your
no
legs.
Reason for you to wear a Speedo.
The deal with Speedos, you have to shave parts that on men just shouldn't be shaved.
And by the way, even the United States men's team, they're no longer wearing Speedos.
I mean, think about the leg hair on the back of the leg, right underneath the buttocks. That's crazy. And the tuft right above the butt crack. I mean, you gotta shave all of that stuff.
I don't want to think about shaving my tuft. I'm not sure what a tuft is. I don't want it shaved. I have no intention of shaving
but see,
a
the
tuft.
Thing is, the Europeans who do wear Speedos, they don't care about the hair. They'll just, the hair's there. It's this is part of them, all natural.
Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
You know, I feel the same way that women feel about Speedos, about yoga pants.
You don't like yoga pants?
You're
the 1% of dudes out there who don't like yoga pants.
Have you been to Walmart lately? Give me a break.
Well, okay. I get to it. It depends on who's wearing them.
He's walking through Walmart.
That's not where I'm thinking about yoga pants.
Yeah, I would think a requirement for yoga pants
yeah.
in order to wear yoga pants, you have to be doing yoga.
Or working out.
Yeah. If you've never done yoga or worked out,
don't wear yoga pants. And definitely don't wear yoga pants, like, you know, going on a shopping.
You don't see me wearing weightlifter shirts.
Every once in a while you come in with a tank top on.
No, I don't have a tank top.
You don't have a tank top?
I don't know. Oh, God, no. I have a shirt that's a, I have a sleeveless shirt.
Okay.
But that's it. I don't have a tank top.
Okay, well, I count that as a tank top. No. It's not...
God, no.
It's not a Arnold Schwarzenegger shirt, but...
and you women with the, yoga pants. And guys, Speedos, never.
No.
Never.
Nope.
There's no need to ever wear them. 99% of women don't... I don't know who this 1% is. 99-point-some-odd percent of women don't want you wearing your Speedo on vacation.
What about that swimsuit that Borat had?
Oh, God, no.
Remember that? It's like suspenders and a banana hammock.
No, we will talk. By the way, we will talk about Borat today.
Oh, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Did you see any of the video from...
I haven't seen the video,
my God.
He's doing what he does best, trolling the heck out of people.
He's threatening to be sued by everybody. And by the way, I have my theories on that I'll give.
He's always been, Sacha Baron Cohen's always been controversial.
I know there are a bunch of conservatives that are very upset at him and blah, blah, blah. And then there's a bunch of people on the other side that are cheering him on. I just want to say, let's make sure before you start cheering him on, let's make sure that you're not
the next target.
At the end of what, because one thing about Sacha Baron Cohen, he doesn't usually hold it to one side.
No.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.